Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world. Today's stories include, first, members of parliament speak up for Falun Gong during China-Australia free trade talks. Second, Australian police impressed with Falun Dafa's peaceful protest during G20 leaders summit. Third, Falun Gong banners speak directly to Chinese leader in New Zealand. Fourth, U.S.-China Commission reports heightened media control and continuation of persecution. Fifth, Washington, D.C. Forum on 10th anniversary of 9 commentaries, China's Red Empire is crumbling. Sixth, in China, 17 arrested for possessing Falun Gong truth clarification currency. And finally, Falun Dafa in Haiti, 2008 to 2014. Now for the stories. Members of Parliament speak up for Falun Gong during China-Australia free trade talks. Several Australian Members of Parliament, MPs, joined a rally outside Parliament House in Canberra, where the China-Australia free trade talks were held a day after the G20 Leaders Summit concluded. The rally called for an immediate end to the persecution, especially state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting from living Falun Gong practitioners. Trade must be based on morality and conscience. Independent Senator John Madigan pointed out that trade must be based on morality and conscience in order to have a positive impact on society. He said that because the economy exists for mankind, trade must first answer to basic human rights. When talking about the Chinese regime's persecution of Falun Gong, including forced organ harvesting, Madigan asked Prime Minister Tony Abbott, "Why is this issue not part of our discussions with China?" I welcome practitioners of Falun Gong. Around the world, you continue to campaign against religious persecution and the practice of forced organ harvesting in China, said Madigan in his speech. He recalled that last year, the Senate passed a bill urging Beijing to stop live organ harvesting, but the crime didn't slow down, and the victims were mostly Falun Gong practitioners. But every human life matters. Every human life has value. I welcome you all here today. I wish you well with your protest. I urge you to continue your struggle, Madigan said. I can't just turn a blind eye. Madigan believes that the Australian government values trade with Beijing more than human life and calls it an act of short-sightedness. How do you reconcile that some people are locked up because the government doesn't agree with them or their observances, and then go about saying that they can make an argument for or justify taking a person's kidney or lungs and just commodify people's lives and their organs? Some people say it's okay to turn a blind eye to something, but what if it were your brother, your father, sister, uncle, cousin, or your best friend? If the world is degenerating to that point, where can we just rationalize things away, out of sight and out of mind? Even if he is a prisoner, every person has inherent dignity. I can't just turn a blind eye, because to do that, you are complacent. And once again, there is big money involved in organ harvesting. If that is what it takes to make money, I don't want to be part of it, said Madigan. Falun Gong benefits Chinese society. Alana McTiernan is a member of the Australian House of Representatives for Perth. She pointed out that Falun Gong brings society harmony and blessings, and that lifting the ban on Falun Gong would benefit Chinese society. McTiernan said at the rally, "We will join you in your plea to ensure that this increasing tolerance emerging in China extends to the Falun Gong practitioners in China. I deeply believe the practitioners of Falun Gong only wish the best for the Chinese community. Your practice will be positive for China, as we see this in Australia. We have this lesson to learn. We know by embracing diversity that, indeed, we make our nation stronger. When we ensure that sense of nationhood, our national identity is enhanced. We want to say that we understand Falun Gong's position and understand your concerns, which you have over time been persecuted, but we are confident and hopeful that the new regime of China will be embracing this diversity, ensuring that your practice is allowed to flourish and bring good to the Chinese community." Joe Bullock, Labour Senator for Western Australia in the Parliament, wrote a letter to the Falun Dafa Association. Senator Bullock expressed his concern over forced organ harvesting from living practitioners in China and said he hoped that the practitioners could take this opportunity to expose the issue to the public. Green Party holds Human Rights Forum on the persecution. When Chinese President Xi Jinping gave a speech at the Australian Parliament, the Green Party simultaneously held a forum on human rights in China. Representatives of Falun Gong, Tibet, Democracy Activist, and Xinjiang Autonomous Region were invited to the forum. Senator and Parliament Leader of the Greens, Christine Milne, said, The Australian Greens remain extremely concerned about the continued human rights violations and the slow progress of democratic reform in the People's Republic of China. In particular, we condemn the ongoing persecution of Falun Gong practitioners, which should be likewise acknowledged and condemned by the Australian government. Australian police impressed with Falun Dafa's peaceful protest during G20 Leaders Summit. Impressed with Falun Dafa's, also known as Falun Gong's, peaceful protest, police officers gave their support and protection during the G20 Leaders Summit held in Brisbane, Australia. The officers came to understand the kind-hearted nature of practitioners through talking with them and reading their pamphlets. They asked for a Falun Dafa banner to put up in their office after the activities concluded. The 2014 G20 Leaders Summit was held on November 15 and 16 in Brisbane, Queensland. 6,000 additional police officers from other states of Australia and New Zealand were dispatched, making for the biggest peacetime police operation in Australian history, according to Queensland Deputy Commissioner Rose Barnett. Dean Godfrey from the Queensland Police Service accompanied Falun Dafa practitioners during their march on November 15th. He said to a practitioner, "It was very nice walking with all of you in the G20 protest march, much nicer than other protesters yesterday who were very aggressive. You are also peaceful, and thank you. Please pass this message on to the others." The Chinese consulate had instigated many pro-communist groups to harass practitioners throughout the 2 days, but all of these attempts were stopped by police. John Andrus from the Queensland Falun Dafa Association shared one incident that occurred at 7 a.m. on November 16th. Several Chinese people suddenly showed up when practitioners were preparing to erect banners at William Street, where delegates and heads of governments from various nations would pass. One of them seemed to be in charge. "They came here, blocked us, put up Chinese flags at places where we had a permit." Several police officers approached and spoke with the Chinese student leader, who argued with the officers. The officer stated that the Falun Dafa Association had been granted a permit for that spot several weeks prior. Therefore, the students who did not have a permit were ordered to move on. None of the students went close to the practitioners afterward, Andrus explained. In fact, a few days ago, we learned that the Chinese consulate had been recruiting Chinese university students or Chinese employees from Chinese-owned companies so that they would come during these 2 days to interfere with us. The police were very concerned when he told them this. The Chinese delegates intentionally changed routes and took a back road to the summit after catching a glimpse of Falun Dafa's anti-persecution banners. The police officers then helped practitioners reposition their banners in more visible spots so that the Chinese delegates had to see the banner messages. Falun Gong banners speak directly to Chinese leader in New Zealand. Just like his predecessors who always encountered Falun Gong protesters in their overseas trips, Xi Jinping, head of the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, saw Falun Gong practitioners calling for justice during his recent visit to Australia and New Zealand. Falun Gong practitioners displayed large banners for the Chinese Communist leader's motorcade on the afternoon of November 21, 2014, as it proceeded on a route to visit the Karaka Farm of South Auckland, New Zealand. The banners read, "Falun Dafa is good," and "Bring perpetrators Jiang Zemin, Zheng Qingkuang, Zhou Yongkang, Liu Gan, and Liu Jing to justice." A practitioner said that communist head Xi Jinping saw the banners clearly. Practitioner Jin Long and about a dozen others knew that Xi was planning to visit the Karaka farm and decided to protest the Chinese regime's persecution of Falun Gong near the site. They arrived there 3 hours prior to the scheduled visit. Jin Long recalled, "We met with a police officer and were asked what we planned to do there. We replied that we were Falun Gong practitioners and came to display banners and distribute flyers. He looked at them and said, 'Why are you here?' Jin Long replied, 'We come here to show our peaceful request because our fellow practitioners in China are being persecuted. We want to tell Qi the facts and ask him to stop the persecution.' He said, 'Okay, I'll find a place for you.' With the policeman's help, Ji Long unfurled his Falun Gong banner at a nice location where Qi's motorcade passed by. According to Ji Long, he saw Qi in one of the cars and was sure that Qi saw the banner and his message. U.S.-China Commission reports heightened media control and continuation of persecution. The 2014 annual report of the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, USCC, notes heightened media control in China and continuation of persecution of Falun Gong through arbitrary detention, torture, psychiatric abuse, and arrest of practitioners, as well as harassment of lawyers who attempt to represent them. Gao Xixing, a human rights lawyer who China's Ministry of Justice named one of the top 10 Chinese lawyers in 2001, was recently released from a 9-year jail sentence where he faced torture, solitary confinement, and malnutrition for advocating on behalf of Falun Gong practitioners. In addition, authorities threatened his children, leading him to confess to subversion charges in 2006. Authorities harassed and kept him and his family under 24-hour surveillance until his family's escape to the United States in 2009. The publication also reports that China's first national security blue book, released in May 2014, designated religion as a serious threat to its national security. The USCC annual report identifies Falun Gong as one of the topics focused on when it comes to eliminating content in China's domestic media, which are all controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, CCP. Since its inception in 1999, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom has found systematic and egregious violations of religious freedom in China. Falun Gong practitioners in China are still, as per the report, being arrested and detained. According to its official website, USCC was created by the United States Congress in October 2000 with a mandate to monitor, investigate, and submit to Congress an annual report on the national security implications of the bilateral trade and economic relationship between the United States and the People's Republic of China, and to provide recommendations, where appropriate, to Congress for legislative and administrative action. Washington, D.C. Forum on 10th Anniversary of Nine Commentaries, China's Red Empire is Crumbling. The Chinese Communist Party is a red empire that is being demolished brick by brick, experts said at a November 22nd forum on the 10th anniversary of the publishing of the Nine Commentaries on the Communist Party. The book, initially published as nine editorials in the Epoch Times from November 19th to December 4th, 2004, ignited a grassroots movement of Chinese citizens renouncing their memberships in the party and its affiliates. Speakers at the forum noted that the movement was a spiritual solution, not a political movement, and that a movement seeking political or personal gain couldn't have lasted this long. They shared their insights that quitting the CCP addresses the foundation of credibility in China's society and is therefore a moral choice. The daily number of Chinese who quit the CCP and its sister organizations rose to more than 100,000 in mid-November. The total number since December 2004 is rapidly approaching 185 million. Charles Lee, a representative of the Global Service Center for Quitting the CCP, shared that while many Falun Gong practitioners are leading the effort, other Chinese have followed suit. He spoke about a group organized at the grassroots level by folks in Yunnan province with over 110,000 members. They study nine commentaries together every week and tell their friends and relatives about the true nature of the CCP. Nine Commentaries has been translated into 33 languages. The forum was held in Montgomery County, Maryland, in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Change is around the corner. If the CCP is built of bricks, the movement of Chinese people quitting the CCP, Youth League, and Young Pioneers is dismantling that empire one brick at a time. I think many bricks have already crumbled, and the mortar isn't holding the bricks together anymore, said Chen Guancheng, a Chinese civil rights lawyer and activist, and IPR, Institute for Policy Research and Catholic Studies, distinguished visiting fellow with Catholic University of America. He urged everyone to work together to tear down the red wall, because, based on his experience in China, change is occurring tomorrow. Although the CCP has persecuted Falun Gong for so many years, this is what I experienced in China. Overnight, we saw Falun Gong materials everywhere. Almost every household can obtain a copy of Nine Commentaries. Everyone knows what's going on in the outside world. The CCP is very nervous about it. It can only escalate the persecution secretly. It doesn't dare to show its fear. Because once it shows it is afraid, people will know that this Nine Commentaries must be very valuable. Otherwise, the CCP wouldn't react so strongly. No matter what, Chinese people are awakening, little by little. Mr. Chen recalled when he first learned about Nine Commentaries through the Freegate Internet Censorship Circumvention software. I thought it was a crucial moment. That was when many Chinese went from knowing it, the CCP, to really knowing it and knowing the reason behind its behaviors. On the surface, people were still carrying on with their daily routines, but when people spoke of the nine commentaries, no one asked, "How did you know?" Everyone knew. He credited the book for clearing up a common misunderstanding among the Chinese people that the upper level of the CCP was good, that only a few CCP members in the lower echelons of the organization were bad. "We shouldn't hold any illusions about the CCP," he urged. Quitting the CCP is a moral choice. Zhang Tianliang, an Epoch Times commentator and Chinese culture expert, said that quitting the CCP is a moral choice. "It surpasses any pursuits of politics or self-interest, and therefore cannot be easily confused by convoluted logic or be influenced by political compromises. Many people used to consider the CCP a regular political party and therefore sought to make compromises with it. However, the Nine Commentaries exposes its true evil nature." He explained that when initiated into the party or one of its affiliated organizations, one must vow to devote one's life to it and to fight for it for the rest of one's life. The vow is so common and made by so many people in a perfunctory way, though, that most Chinese people have lost sight of its seriousness and weighty implications. Nine Commentaries on the Communist Party reminded people of those vows. Understanding the CCP for what it really is and the implications of the words in the vow, many have made the effort to renounce it and their communist organization memberships. Mr. Zhang said that quitting the CCP was a moral choice and would lead to rebuilding a foundation of credibility in China's society. For this, he gave Nine Commentaries full credit as the catalyst for change. Liu Kar-jam, vice chairman of the Guchu Sum movement in Tibet, an ex-prisoner aid organization, was impressed by the insights in Nine Commentaries and helped translate the book into Tibetan. He said the book had made a tremendous contribution to mankind and echoed other speakers that quitting the CCP is not a political movement. In China, 17 arrested for possessing Falun Gong truth clarification currency, 10 sentenced. When all legal channels are deliberately closed off to Falun Gong practitioners, they look to creative ways to inform the public of the Chinese Communist Party's groundless persecution of the peaceful self-cultivation system. One thing practitioners in Qinhuangdao City, Hebei Province, do on a large scale is to circulate Falun Gong truth clarification currency, paper bills with messages printed on them exposing the persecution of Falun Gong. The local authorities have gone to great lengths to stop the spread of such truth clarification currency. A group of 7 practitioners were arrested at a toll booth and had their vehicles searched on June 10, 2013. Police arrested another 10 practitioners from their homes the same night, again confiscating their personal property. All 17 practitioners were charged, and 10 were recently sentenced to prison, their terms ranging from 20 months to 7 years. According to court records, the police confiscated a total of 1,502,721 yuan from the 17 practitioners. 605,258 yuan was in truth clarification currency with messages exposing the persecution of Falun Gong printed on it, while the remaining 897,463 yuan had no messages printed on them. The police pocketed an additional 200,000 yuan looted from the practitioners, but that amount was not included in the court's tally of confiscated property. The practitioners have filed requests asking for the return of their hard-earned income and savings of 1.7 million yuan. In the meantime, the 10 sentenced practitioners have also sent in their appeal letters to Qinhuangdao Intermediate Court. And our final story, Falun Dafa in Haiti, 2008-2014. Falun Dafa, also known as Falun Gong, was first introduced in Haiti in 2008. The number of Falun Gong practitioners there keeps growing. Recalling the disastrous earthquake in 2010, a local Falun Gong practitioner said with gratitude, "Master protected us. No one in our group was even injured or suffered home damage." Anita, a French Falun Gong practitioner, traveled to Haiti for the first time to introduce Falun Dafa in May 2008. She brought more than 60 copies of the book Juan Falun to distribute. She visited Haiti again in September of the same year and gave a 3-part radio presentation on Falun Dafa. With the mayor's permission, the first Falun Gong group exercise site was established in Croix des Bouquets. Local Falun Gong practitioners do exercises together there every Saturday morning. They also hold Fa study sessions in various places in the city. By the time Anita visited Haiti for the third time in 2012, the number of Falun Gong practitioners had increased. Anita reached out to various people to inform them about Falun Gong and the persecution, including employees of the French embassy, the family of the Haitian deputy consul to Guadeloupe, doctors, attorneys, principals, reporters, hosts at ration stations, teachers, city employees, etc. She also taught Falun Gong to teachers and students at four elementary schools and four middle schools. Falun Gong became part of the curriculum in one of the elementary schools. 150 students do the Falun Gong exercises together at 7 a.m. every Friday. Anita visited Haiti for the fourth time in the summer of 2014. The number of Falun Gong practitioners had grown, and there were more practice sites. A nearly 70-year-old woman used to have serious high blood pressure and was paralyzed. One night, the woman learned Falun Gong exercises from Anita and felt great. Her eyesight improved right away. The next morning, the woman's son told Anita that her blood pressure had lowered. Her family was amazed, and they all began practicing Falun Gong. Richard Henny's son learned the exercises from Anita when the boy was 4 years old. When Anita saw him again in 2014, he was 10 years old and still practicing the exercises. He could sit with both legs crossed in double lotus very well. The boy was accepted to a new public school even though it was highly selective. He said Falun Dafa brought him good luck. That's all we have for you this week. If you like the contents, please go to our website to subscribe to the weekly newsletter or send your suggestions and feedback to editor@en.minghui.org. Thank you for listening.